to be in special prayer for Sister Betty. To be in prayer for Stephen. He's doing very, very well. The Lord's given him a lot of grace. Just keep praying that he'll keep leaning upon the Lord, and pray for Betty as well. Brother Mike, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Lord, help God. Amen. To turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Book of Exodus, chapter 20. We're looking at the Ten Commandments. We haven't actually gotten to a commandment yet, but we will. Spent the last several weeks looking, making sure that we understand the law of God. A lot of people don't, and therefore they have a wrong view concerning the commandments. We want to read verses 1 and 2. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Those words serve as the preface, not just to the first commandment, but to all 10 of the commandments. And they enforce the commandments. They serve as a motivation to obey the commandments. They serve as an incentive. They provide us a stimulus. They are an inspiration to obey the commandments. They also feed the enthusiasm that ought to be found in obedience to the commandments of God. They feed ambition. These words should give us the ambition that we need to keep the commandments. And the determination to obey the commandments. In verse 1, and God spake all these words. So God is seen as the speaker. So before we get to a single commandment, our attention is drawn to God. And when we view the commandments with our attention upon God, they take on an entirely different meaning. And God spake all these words, saying. Now notice those first two words of verse 1, and God. It speaks of his existence. It speaks of his reality. The Bible always assumes the existence and the reality of God. Again, as we've said before, the Bible does not set out to prove God. The Bible, God's there. He exists. He's reality. So those first two words, and God, speak of his existence. Why should we obey the commandments? Because God exists. Because God exists. So it speaks because God is real. And God spake all these words. Now, the existence and the reality of God, from that very fact, the existence and the reality of God, means that he has a just claim upon us. If God exists, and he does, then he has a just claim upon us. If God exists, and he does, then he has a due. That is, we're obligated to him. He has a right to everything. Just the fact of his existence. Whether someone feels that God has cheated them somehow in life and has never blessed them, just the fact that God exists gives him the right to everything and gives him the right to command and puts us under obligation to obey his command. And God. That's the starting point. That's the starting point of the Ten Commandments. And God. It's also the source. And God spake all these words, saying, God is our starting point. God is the source. We see here also God is the authority. The very fact that God exists speaks of his authority, his right to command, his right to demand. He has authority. The very fact that God exists, the very fact that he has authority, makes us his subjects, which ought to interest us in what he has to say. Not only are we his subjects, but we are bound and we are obligated to obey him. God, the infinite, the eternal, the omniscient, the perfect, the immutable one who can never be mistaken, who can never be wrong, is the originator, and he is the speaker of the Ten Commandments. So this very opening statement leading into the commandments, and God, very important. And God spake all these words. So he's the speaker. Being the originator, being the speaker, gives credence to the commandments. Gives credence to the Ten Commandments, and it underscores the importance of the Ten Commandments, and it underscores the seriousness of the Ten Commandments. That God spoke them underscores the importance and the seriousness. But it also underscores man's responsibility and man's accountability. So we read, and God spake all these words. And God spake. That reveals that God has something to say. God exists. He is perfect. He has all authority. And He has something to say. And He has something to say about everything. And God spake all these words. That means that the Ten Commandments are not the mere opinion or the philosophy of man. They are the very words of God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, that's your opinion. No, that's what God said. Thou shalt keep the Sabbath. Well, that's your opinion. That's your view. And God spake. What is it that people do not understand? And God spake all these words. We're not talking about man's opinion. God spoke the commandments. We're not talking about man's philosophy. God spoke the commandments. They are the very words of God. That is incentive to obey, that God is the originator and speaker. Does that not mean that man has not been left to formulate his own values, his own value system? He has not been left to formulate his own system of morality, his own system of ethics. And God spake these words. We do not have to create. We do not have to formulate a system of ethics or morality. God has already done that. And you and I cannot improve upon that. So we see the fact that God spoke these words. God did not leave it to us to create a system of morality. You follow the Ten Commandments, and there will be morality. So we say this is God. The Ten Commandments are the commandments of God Himself. They are the communication of the Lord. And God spake all these words. It is God communicating to all of mankind, saved and unsaved. We see that the commandments are the arrangement of God Himself. I believe that the order is very, very important. I think it's an amazing thing to follow the order of God in Scripture, the way God presents things, the way God mentions things, the order. Order is important. And we see there is a specific order with the Ten Commandments. And so it is the arrangement of God Himself. It is the instruction of God Himself. They are the requirements of God Himself. These are the requirements of God. It doesn't matter what century we live in. It doesn't matter, well it does, but how much people disregard the Ten Commandments. It does not change them. They are the requirements of God. They are God's plan of order for individuals. Do you realize that we would not have the mess that we have in families today if God's order was followed? Do you realize that society would not be in the mess that it is? Individual lives would not be the mess they are if people would just follow God's order. It will not save your soul to follow the Ten Commandments, but I'll tell you what, it'll make your life a lot easier. And it'll bring more joy into your life. Even a lost person, and I realize tithing's not one of the commandments, though I believe you could fit it in there, but even a lost person, if they tithe, God's going to bless them. And even if a lost person obeys these things, keeps the Sabbath, I believe God will bless. And I believe that person will be happier than the lost person who just outwardly rebels against these things. So, again, You know, some people have the philosophy that, well, you shouldn't teach your children because it's not going to matter till they're saved. Well, that's where they're wrong. It will matter. Even if the Lord doesn't save them, it'll matter. Because it'll make their life better. And it'll make them better citizens. And it'll make the country better. And on we can go. But the Ten Commandments are God's plan for individual lives. They are God's plan for society as a whole. And they will work for every single generation everywhere. They work. The Ten Commandments exist because God exists. And He wants us to know. He wants us to know. So we see verse 1, and God spake all these words, saying. So we have the existence of God. We see God is the originator and the speaker. And then in verse 2, God proceeds to describe Himself. And in so doing, He provides us with three more reasons for keeping the commandments. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. He describes Himself in three ways. He says, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. That's description number one. Description number two, I am the Lord thy God. And description number three, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. These three descriptions give us three reasons. Again, we only need one reason, and that's God. Verse 1. But now we have three more reasons in verse 2. We see one reason is from His sovereignty. I am the Lord. That's a declaration of the sovereignty of God. There is a reason that folks like to downsize God, because it takes away His authority in their minds. So we have a reason from His sovereignty. The next thing is from His covenant relationship. Thy God. Thy God. And He's everyone's God from the fact that He's the Creator. But then, of course, if He's redeemed us, then that's just another degree of being our God. But the fact that He is our God gives us reason to obey. And then we have the third from the benefit of redemption, which had brought thee out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage, which of course is a picture of salvation. So the preface to the Ten Commandments teaches us that because God exists, and because He is the Lord, and because He is our God, and because He is the Redeemer, therefore, we are bound to keep His commandments. Therefore, we ought to want to keep His commandments. So in the preface, we see the person and work of God is the foundation of the Ten Commandments. All through the Scriptures, we see God establishes foundations, and then He builds upon that foundation. Foundations are of extreme importance. And the foundation of the Ten Commandments is not society. And that's what people don't understand. Well, you know, we've gotten past that. Well, you only think you have. The foundation is not society. The foundation is not a bunch of politicians sitting in Washington or anywhere else. The foundation is the person and work of God. That's the foundation of the Ten Commandments. And you cannot destroy that foundation. It can't be destroyed. And therefore, the Ten Commandments cannot be done away with. You see, the Ten Commandments are not built upon the shifting sands of man's of time or man's reasonings or man's opinions. That's not what it's built on. And God spake all these words. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage. There's the foundation. And that foundation never changes. The first stone in that salvation, again, is really the existence of God. But then in verse 2, I am the Lord. In verse 1, and God spake, and God, that assumes the existence of God. Verse 2 is a declaration of who He is. A declaration of who He is. A declaration of His purpose or His person. The first reason for obedience to the commandments is found in those words. I am the Lord. Now we could spend months on that phrase. We're not going to. I am the Lord. All capital letters. I am Jehovah. The word Jehovah means the eternal, unchangeable one. The self-existent one. By that we simply mean He depends on no one or anything for His existence. He has His being entirely of Himself. And from whom all being is derived. I am the Lord. It is the same as Exodus 3 verse 14. I am that I am. It was Jehovah that appeared unto Moses. I am that I am. All capital letters. The name contains each tense of the verb to be. And conveys the idea of I was, I am, and I will always continue to be what I was and what I am. It's His eternity. It's His immutability. And it is the first stone in the foundation. I am the Lord. I am the Sovereign One. And then He speaks the commandments. That name, the Lord, reveals the unity of the Godhead. It reveals that He is the one true God. He has no equal. Now that's very important. He has no equal. The very first commandment, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. There are very few people who practice that God has no equal. I mean, they'd be doing good if they put something equal with God rather than something more important than God. But God has no equal. No equal at all. Now, that's very important when it comes to the Ten Commandments. Because as you read the commandments, since God is the originator and God is the speaker and He has no equal, that eliminates all this philosophy and all this thought. Well, so-and-so says. Who cares? God has no equal. God already said these things. Well, the courts say. Who cares? The courts aren't equal with God. They're not on the same level with God. The name reveals the reality and certainty of His being. If God is real, then the commandments are real. And if God is certain, then the commandments are certain. That name Jehovah reveals the constancy and the perpetuity of His nature and His will. Again, in other words, the commandments are not going to change. No matter what changes take place in society, and no matter what the opinion polls say, the commandments remain the same. Why? Because I am the Lord. He's the originator. He's the speaker. The name reveals the infinite excellency and perfection of His nature. It reveals that He is the Creator, that He gave man His being. Well, what's that have to do with anything? It has everything to do with it. It means He has authority, He has right over man. The name reveals that He is the supreme governor and lawgiver. And it reveals that He is the preserver of all. I am the Lord, the sovereign one. Because of that, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt make no graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You shall keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor thy father and thy mother, and so on. Why? Because I am the Lord. Because I am the Lord. You need no other reason. Because I am the Lord. So the next time someone says, well, you know, the Supreme Court ruled. And your point? That doesn't, the ruling of the Supreme Court does not change what God says. Not one iota. The Supreme Court is not on equal footing with God. So it's very, the preface is very important to these commandments. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Your being, for who You are. Lord, we thank You for Your word and the clarity of it. We thank You, Lord, that You've given us these commandments and by Your authority, and Lord, that we do know that they still stand today, that they are still in force this day as much as they've ever been. And we thank You, Lord, for that. We thank You, Lord, that we can have the assurance of that. And Lord, we pray today that as we worship You, that You'd help us to worship You in spirit and in truth, that we would honor and glorify Your name. Lord, we pray that You'd be with Sister Betty at this time, Lord, that You'd help her. Wrap Your arms around her, Lord. Cause her to feel Your presence. Pray, Lord, that You would just continue to give her more and more and more assurance each passing minute. Be with Stephen, Lord, that You'd help him. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.